My name is Ryan Gard. I'm the high school pastor. You've had Johnny up here the last couple weeks doing his thing. He's on like a break today. Told him not to come to work. And so if you miss him, you can text him and tell him that you miss him. I'm here this morning to have some fun. I asked the band, Andy and the crew, if they would do me a favor and today just do two songs. Because I wanted as much time as possible, not to talk to you, but to unleash you. And so we're not going to leave this room necessarily, unless you have to pee, right on. You don't have to raise your hand and ask or anything. But spring break crowd, I thought we'd have some fun together before. I just saw a senior. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you're about to graduate, some of you. Some of you have deep senioritis, and your hearts are numb and cold, and you just want nothing but to leave high school forever. But problem is, I'm the college pastor too, so you can't lose me. I'm following you wherever you go. But today, I thought we'd have a little bit of fun, and we're going to do something I've never, ever, ever, ever done before. Cool? But we're going to start with some things that I love to do, like flipping open to Philippians. Ooh, I didn't realize how that worked together. Philippians chapter 2. Please go there. And while you're going, I'd ask you a question. What would you do with $1 billion? Like, what would you do with $1 billion? Now, if you're not a sports fan, you probably didn't know that just recently a man named Warren Buffett, who has like 60-something billion dollars apparently, was like, you know what'd be fun? I'll offer $1 billion up to anyone who can fill out a perfect college basketball playoff bracket, all right? 64 teams, 32 over here, 32 over here. They're all going to play each other and get down to two teams, and then one's going to be a champion. Can you figure out who's going to win every single one of them games all the way down to the last one and pick the winner? And if you can, Warren has an extra billion for you. Must be nice. Like, I might have like an extra 20 if someone was like really in a pinch. Warren's like, I got you. Okay, so I was just curious if I won, because I had hope. I filled out my bracket and I was like, dude, this looks good. And the Lord's like, he does weird things in my life all the time. Maybe he wants to give me $1 billion, enlarge my territory, right? Like, give me $1 billion. And so I started dreaming and planning, and then I lost in the first round. Like, thank you, Mercer. I was out quick, right, in the Buckeyes. Nobody's doing me any favors. But there were 16 people that were in it, just like a couple days ago. And I imagine that the 16 people that were left, out of the 11 million people that filled out a bracket, it came down to 16 hopeful souls. And I wonder if they started to plan. Like, what would we do with $1 billion? Do you know how many zeros are in a billion? I think it's more than 9. 12? 12. Tanner, was that right? Yeah, like a girl over here last night was like 12, and I believed her because she looked smart. There was like some other guys who were like 46, and I'm like, stay in school. Right. What would you do? First thing, what popped in your head? Pay off what? Pay off the Africa trip. Yes, you could probably, yes, pay off everyone's Africa trip. Yeah, in the back. Pay off your college debt. You're already planning on having college debt. Beautiful. For school loans? Okay, you could probably buy whatever school you're thinking about, by the way. I own Duke. Auburn. It cost you like 100 grand. All right, what else? Charity. What kind of charity? What would you buy? Food. Water. A new truck. Different than charity. Charity for you, unless you give the truck away. All right. Or give people help moving. That's charity. That's it? Summer camp. What would you buy for us home? All right, you have a bill bigger. All right, so I want to go to summer camp. You still have $999 million and six. I don't know, forget it. You don't use most of the math you'll ever learn. So, okay, I'm priming you right now. I'm getting you to think creatively. That's all I'm trying to do. Is I'm trying to prime you because maybe you didn't go to Starbucks this morning like I did and got a bucket. But I'm bucket deep in coffee and I'm excited to dream a little bit with you today. What could we do? I saw a guy at Starbucks this morning named Ian, and I grew up with him, and we used to do coke, acid, ecstasy, and drink beer just about every single day. Welcome to Mission. And then Jesus grabbed my life. And in 2001, I became a Christian, but Ian didn't. And Ian is still Ian. Ian got a girl pregnant, and he has this beautiful little girl that he's been walking around with. I see him at Starbucks all the time. And right before she got here, right before she was coming into the world, he was at Starbucks one day, and I was like, dude, you're going to be a dad. And he's still kind of like, what's up with Ryan Gard? He's all religious now. What happened to you? And I was like, dude, I'm so excited for you. I'm genuinely excited for you. And I left Starbucks that day, and what's right next to Starbucks on Power and Ray? Lots of things. I didn't buy Chipotle for the baby. Here, there's a burrito, it'll stay. No, I went to Target, and I went down the baby aisle, and I filled up my cart. I went on just like a little shopping spree for the baby, and I got like this massive lifetime supply of diapers and put it right on top and all these sippy cups and all this other jazz. And I was like, and it was all pink because it's a girl and I'm that guy. And so I roll back into Starbucks with this massive box of diapers and this big, massive pink bag, the biggest one they had, and I roll in like this, and everyone Sunday morning's like, weird, man, what's going on? And I drop it at his feet, and I just go, hey, dude, I'm seriously pumped for you. Here's some stuff to help. Hope to see you again soon. All right, peace. And I just left, and he's like, what do I do? Because there's no dude in the world that's like, I can't wait to sit in Starbucks for the next hour with like a pink mountain next to me. And I just walked out like, ah! Like, to me, it was like, not so I could tell you some stupid story, but I walked out going, man, this feels good. This is what I was supposed to do with my life. We are wired up to be kind. And I'm really good at being a jerk. I'm really good at being vulgar and vicious and mean and plotting evil. I can. I'm good at it. I grew up just practicing. But now I'm trying to do something new. And today I want to join you in that. Philippians 2 is my inspiration. It's Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 1. Look at this. It says this. It's a bunch of ifs and then a then. So if this is true, then let's do something. Verse 1. Man, we could spend like 65 weeks and I'm going to fly right over it. Use it as a trampoline into some good. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, like that song you just sang, if there's any sense of like, oh, this is a good thing. I'm comforted by the fact that God doesn't want to annihilate me. He loves us. So, all right, if any encouragement from being united with Christ forever, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, like if you've got any at all, he just says any, he didn't say a lot, he just said if there's any tenderness in you at all, like you see a brand new baby and your heart kind of goes, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, oh, there's any, okay, there's some in there, man, so everyone's in, right? Then, make my joy complete by being like-minded, us, having the same love, one love, being one in spirit and in purpose. And then he just goes, look, we don't have time for this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interest. He's like, yeah, take care of yourself. Each one, not only your own stuff, but also to the interest of others. And here's why. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. And then he drops this poem. Who being in very nature God, Jesus was God. It hurts my brain, but he was fully man and fully God. But he was God when he walked this earth. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. Crazy thing about all the other gods of the day and today as well, like Caesar, in Jesus' time, Caesar is Lord. That was a phrase that they had. The Christians hijacked it and said, no, Jesus is Lord. They're like, no, that's our saying. We're like, too bad, sucker. Caesar is Lord was his king, and if you rolled into like town as Caesar's people, the town better worship Caesar as Lord, Caesar as God, because Caesar is Caesar. And if you don't, we're going to kill you. Essentially, that's the deal. All the other lowercase g gods are fighting for power and fighting for the throne, but Jesus, who being in very nature God, didn't fight for the throne, but he made himself, verse 7, nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he was a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Like he went all the way with this humility thing. Even death on a cross, the most humiliating death there is, he submitted to it. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, and even under the earth, let's just get everybody involved, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Eat it, Caesar, to the glory of God the Father. All right, beautiful. Jesus Christ figured out how to live the best kind of life because he invented life. He's the author of the story. He knows how it works. And the question for you today is, and for me, like, do I actually believe that God knows what he's doing when he guides my life and when he tells me to live certain ways? Do I actually believe that humility is better than pride? That serving others is better than demanding everyone else meet my needs? That committing my life every day to serving someone is better than trying to get as many people as I can to serve me and to give to me? Like, do you truly believe that humility is better than pride? Like, because you hear things like, you got to let Jesus sit on the throne of your heart. And it's kind of cute, but it's just saying, let Jesus be the boss. Let him sit in the seat where decisions are made in your life. Run everything through him. But pride says to Jesus, hey, you're sitting in my seat. That's my chair. I'm on that throne. Humility goes, do you want this seat? You can have this seat. You can have that seat. You need somewhere to sit? I'll stand. I'll let you sit here. But pride shouts, get out of my chair. I'm in charge of me. Humility goes, man, I would love to invite you to take this seat. And he goes, look, I want you to have the same love and the same purpose. Why? Jesus. That's it. Who put on display, this has got to be our springboard, incredible humility. After 33 years of living perfectly, like, you got 16. How you doing? 17 years. He did twice that. Perfect. And at the end of his life, if anyone could have demanded obedience, and if anyone could have demanded worship, like, worship me, right? Love me, right? He could have. But instead, his final moments are just getting beat down. Like, the Gospels close out with Jesus in humility taking a beating. I mean, from Roman soldiers, who maybe our culture would epitomize and go, wow, look how sexy these beasts are. These guys are so just tough and blah, 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 blah. And he's getting, like, slapped by men who he made. He's getting slapped by men that he created in their mother's womb. This is a mystery to me. This isn't just like my three-year-old Griffin punching me, all right, because he wants to. And I just hold him up. How's it going? But, like, this is, I created you, and now you're spitting on my face. Jesus is getting spit on by these men who's the saliva. Like, he is responsible for them having the saliva, and they're spitting on him. They're mocking him with words that are coming from the mouths that he gave them, like, slapping with the power that he's supplying, breathing air that he's giving them to breathe to carry out this thing, and all the while he doesn't say a thing until they grab a piece of wood, a couple. They fasten this thing into a cross at some point. That wood was a tree that Jesus planted. That's my tree. You've carved it into this execution tool, and I'm going to let you nail me to it with nails that I created. And I'm going to let you keep this little crown on my head of the thorns of the tree that I planted, and I'm not going to say a thing. Every guy in the room right now, we battle this. Maybe, ladies, you're more crafty. You're more skilled in the art of, like, you use your words. We just want to, most of the fellas want to just swing, right? That's how we're wired. And it's a good thing. You want to protect your family. Someone breaks into my house at 3 a.m, I'm not going to be like, hey, buddy, you want my stuff? Here. I'm going to hit that kid in the face. The frying pan, man. Like, invite him to church. Jesus does nothing for our good. Because if he'd stop the whole thing, you'd still be dead in your sin. You'd still deserve death. And in that moment, he's humble to the point of inviting even the dirtbags that are mocking him from the crowd, and even this chump two crosses over. Yeah, come with me. You're in. It's crazy. How could we as his followers act in any other way? I just can't. My wiring is I want me. Natural is to look out for me. But if I follow this humility and I try to imitate Christ's humility, verse 12 happens. He's like, look, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, so this is a good church going on, not only when I'm there, but also when I'm gone, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. So, like, when the teacher left the room, he's like, look, keep doing this. Continue to work out your salvation. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. I underlined work out your salvation. Would you too? Working out your salvation isn't working for your salvation. That's an important distinction. You were already saved when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and the work of the cross. But then you're saved, you're made a new man, you're made a new woman, you're given a new life and a new purpose and a new DNA. You're almost given like this ability to like work out a new muscle that you never knew you had. Like, anyone ever felt that? Like, anyone after a hard day at work, you're like, I didn't know there was muscles in there. Like, they hurt, man, I can't see them yet, but I'm gonna feel it, right? Like I didn't know those, right? We all know this is getting awkward. But you have this muscle of humility. I know this isn't scripture, but like, it's in you. When I first became a Christian, man, I had the smallest humility muscle you've ever seen in your life. I was the most arrogant, prideful punk you've ever seen. And I knew it. Everyone else was hiding it. I was like, yep, I love me, right? Like, we all try to hide it. I'm just like, no, I'm the deal. And I had to kill that quick. And I wanted to become a pastor. I don't know why, but I was like, I think I'm supposed to become a pastor. And this guy, Mark, I've told you this before. He's like, no, dude, you can't be a pastor. I'm like, whoa. Because of my record? Like, what? No, you don't love people. I was like, frick. You're right. I don't. I kind of like some people, but all I'd ever had was drinking buddies. So I never learned how to love anyone well. And so I was like, all right, I get love. Now I got to figure out how to love. And so I went from the noun to the verb, and I just started to try to love people. Like, literally just try to show some love. Even when it was unnatural to me. Even when everything in me was like, what's up? Like that guy. I just had to start actually doing it. Why don't we try that today? But before we do, you're like, oh, dear God, what did I sign up for? Because it could get awkward. Here, do this. Let's do this. This is new. Will you just put your stuff down? And then, like, stand up? And then disconnect your chair. Figure out how it works. And, like, disconnect it. And then sit back down in it once it's disconnected. Okay. That'll work. Some of you are having trouble. This is a good chance to help a lady out if you see her struggling. Hey, girl, I got you. Okay. Okay. Okay, take a deep breath. Say, I'm gonna try something new. Do you have your phone? Of course you do. Okay, you might need that. Put it like right here. You're gonna need it unless you have it like a dress. Figure it out. I don't know. I don't have any pockets. Okay. Before we do anything, let me ask you this. It's a bit of a gut check. I'm known for being arrogant. I don't know how it came about. I don't know why people are intimidated by me. I like really genuinely love people now, but sometimes people are like, oh, he's like too strong-willed and he's sweaty. Like, all right, cool. Right? Like, but for you and me, we gotta like have a little bit of a gut check. Before we go anywhere, I have some questions for you. So the deep breath was so you can be honest with yourself, just yourself. If you're sitting next to someone that needs to know the honest answer to this, don't give it to me yet. Wait till you're at lunch. But in what ways, the first question is this, you have it for me, I jumped up on you there. How has Christ's example actually affected the way that you live today? Like, think of the ways that after even knowing and seeing and perceiving Philippians 2 and the truth of this humility, how has seeing that and being a witness of that and being a recipient of that grace and humility, how has it actually affected the way you live? The second question is connected. In what ways have you worked out your salvation? Because it is something that's actually intended to be worked out, to be practiced, to put it into play. This is why basketball players practice their free throws, so that they don't cost me my bracket when a basic fundamental, it's called a free throw. It's called a free throw. That's all you gotta do is this, man. It looks good, right? Like, you've actually gotta practice, right? Some of you, you've never shot a free throw. If it puts you at the line, right, you've actually gotta practice. In the same way, if you don't love people right now, and if you're arrogant, you gotta practice. In what ways have you actually worked it out? Who have you been, let's just go right after your heart. Who have you been impatient with? Maybe this week. How long did that take to answer in your soul? How fast was that? You're all smiling because of your sin. But you have someone, right? Her name's probably Mom. You just don't get me, right? You don't get her. You were three at one point. I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to get what parents go through. But who have you been impatient with? Maybe keep their name in mind or write it down or give them an elbow if they're next to you. Number four, who have you been avoiding? Uh-oh. Now maybe there's like a bunch of dudes that maybe you should avoid. Circle of guys you're trying to avoid for a little while till you can get right. But who do you see coming and you go, oh, hell. And you try to go this way. And they're like desperate for like some attention. They just need a friend and you're like, no, someone else, bro. Good luck with that. Jesus is your friend. Okay, number five. Who have you been complaining a lot to? You're like, Twitter, right? It's not a therapist, right? Stop it. Anyway, so who have you been complaining a lot? Who right now maybe is a good friend, but when they see you, they just see like, here comes Debbie Downer. Oh, God, here she comes again. Here he comes again, like always whining. Everyone's an idiot. Everyone's stupid all the time. Every time I talk to him, ugh. And then the other side, let's get positive. And I'll say it like this. Who needs you to speak life to them? Who in your life right now needs you to say a kind word? Who in your life right now you know maybe is hurting, and they could just really use an encouraging text or phone call or a note, email, whatever, gift. Who right now, did someone pop in your head? I bet you someone probably did. Who needs you to speak life? And then this last one. All these other questions depend on this one. Do you truly believe that this is the best way to live? Do you truly believe this? You're waging war with yourself when you answer this question because you're going to want to be the deal. You're going to want to be the most important person in your row. You're going to want to be the most important person in the room. But Christ gives us this example of unbelievable humility, and he goes, do that. And then your heart's got to go, I actually think this is the best way to live. Someday, my friends, you're going to get married. Maybe, right? Most of you probably will. And all of that is going to be put on trial. Like, all of that's going to be tested. And you get this beautiful time even now. Someday you're going to have these friends maybe forever, but you have this incredible opportunity right now to begin practicing these things and working out your salvation and figuring out how life works the best. But you actually have to do it. We used to do this. When I first got here, we would do this event we just called it Random Acts of Kindness. And it was just an easy way for us to get out of the church and go do something fun. And so, like, I remember we would go to, like, Santan Mall, and I would, like, give the students cash, okay? I would, like, give them cash and go, hey, go do whatever you want to do with this cash, which is a dangerous thing, right? But what we would see is, like, some of the students, this isn't you, guys were eighth graders when this happened the last time, but they would go to Walmart, and one time they went to Walmart, and I gave them, like, $50 of church cash, by the way. I just gave it to them, because I ain't got 50. But I gave it to them, and I was like, go do whatever you want. And I remember standing out in the parking lot at Walmart, and out comes, looks like a scene from the movie Up when they try to come get his house. Like, it was like, what? There were hundreds of balloons coming rolling out of Walmart. And I'm like, what the heck are you going to do with all those balloons, right? And they're like, we're going to go hand them out. And so they walked from Walmart over by Santan across the street, which was a spectacle, right? Like hundreds of balloons. Like I was worried about freshmen. Like, bye. Like it was just hundreds of balloons. Walked across, and then they just started handing them out. Like little kids and grown men were like, okay, right? It was amazing. And then security shut it down. I was like, you're the devil. They're shut down love. So I gave like 50 balloons to one kid. I'm like, here you go. It was just beautiful. And then inside of Walmart, I heard that they just kind of stood back creepily with this cash and like watched. And they saw a lady that had two kids in her shopping cart, and they were terrorists because that's what little kids are. And she was just struggling, and they perceived maybe she's a single mom, at least she's a stay-at-home mom, or she's just a lady at the store that's shopping with two kids, which is hell. And so they went over as it was time for her to pay, and they were like, we got this. And they slid the cash to the cashier, and she's like, what? Where's the camera? There's like, there's no camera. We just wanted to show you some love. Have a good day. Rolled out. In that moment, they weren't like, Jesus paid the penalty for your sin, and so just like the way I paid for your bread, he paid for your soul. So you want to come to church? No, they just love this lady crazy, and she's probably still talking about it like, these lunatics paid for my groceries one day. It's crazy. It would have been better if they would have taken my kids somewhere for a couple hours, but yeah, they paid for my groceries. Random acts of kindness are cool, I guess. But what if we plotted and conspired and unleashed kindness together? Like, what if we sat down and we're like, who can we bless? Who can we show some love to? Who can we do something just incredible for? Who needs us to? What if we did that right now? What if we took the next 20 minutes and had a little fun? What if I told you that to make little circles where you're sitting, which is terrifying? Human beings, right? What if, like, Saturday night did this, and it was beautiful. There were a handful of dudes that were like, and I was like, okay, just breathe, man. But some of the girls especially got into this, and they were like, we're going to bake cookies for these crew, and we're going to do this for this lady, and we're going to watch their kids. And I'm like, and I'm like, you need money? Tell me what you need. I know a rich guy. What do you need? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you this. And here's, I'm inviting you into a little something. I used to be a part of the mob. The Grace Mob. Really, for real, we had a graphic and everything. Throw it up there. There you go. It was an organization called People of the Second Chance. And what we would do is we would find people who needed grace and drop a bomb on them. See the O? We'd just drop bombs. There was a girl in our ministry at one point, and when I was a part of the Grace Mob, and it was just a collection of people that we would find someone hurting, and we would drop grace in whatever way we wanted to, and we had money. But there was this day that this girl was getting bullied on Twitter, because it happens, I know. Crazy. She's getting bullied, and I saw it, and I didn't know her, but she was somehow in my Twitter feed. Someone retweeted her in an antagonistic way. Is that a word? In a mean way. And I saw it, and I was like, uh-oh. Right, I just went into action. In that moment, I was like, this girl's getting bullied. And I went under her feed, and I saw that she had like 15 things where she's like, stop it, you guys. You don't understand me. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've been through. And I saw this really popular-looking athletic dude that was like, hey, where's so-and-so? Questions nobody ever asks. And it was that girl's name, and I was all, I could probably take this kid, but I can't go that route anymore. And so I was just, I just decided, like, all right, I'm calling my crew. And so I got on this little thing, this platform that we had at the time. I said, I know a girl that's hurting. I was like, I can't believe this exists. Here's her Twitter name. Go. And hundreds of people that were a part of this thing hopped on Twitter, which sometimes can be an ugly little world, right? And I hopped on Twitter this week, and I saw, I love you, I do, but ew. Like, I hopped on this week, and I was like, dang, freaking get some counseling, man. Get a hug, because it was ugly, some things I saw on here. But for this girl on this day, she got hundreds of people going, hey, girl, we love you and we're in your corner. Hey, girl, don't pay attention to a single thing these guys are saying. You're beautiful. Hey, girl, you are, da, 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 and just unleashed grace on this girl. And I found that dude that retweeted it. I was like, hey, buddy, you don't know me, but she's my friend, and I'd recommend you leave her alone. Which is about as tough as I can get, right? And the kid's heart was like, He's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. You're totally right. And he undid all his tweets and deleted them and undid his retweets. And I was like, Grace Mob, right? It was so rad. Okay, you're in. What I want you to do is I want you to figure out in the next 20 minutes and for the rest of your life, who's hurting? Who's lonely? Who's discouraged? Who has a need that we can fill together? What can we do? Who's struggling to fill in the blank, pass a test, get to camp, make friends? Who's been bullied and we've just sort of stood by and gone, I don't know there's anything I can do about that? Who needs you to extend this kind of grace and humility? Whether it's through social media, maybe it's a photo you like, maybe it's replying to someone's negative tweet with the positive truth about who they actually are. Who needs to be reminded that they're loved and that there's people in their corner? Who? It would take you about 8 seconds to hop on Twitter and find someone. Or maybe you thought of someone when I asked you all those questions and you're like, I have someone I need to text. There's someone I need to call. There's someone like over in the main worship center that I need to talk to right afterwards. There's someone in this room that I need to just say something to because I've been avoiding them and they deserve an apology. They need some kind words. Maybe you have paper or you can borrow my notes because I'm done after this. And you need to write a little encouraging note to someone that just needs a note to know that they're not alone. This is what we're supposed to be known by. Let's practice really intentional acts of kindness to show people what the world's supposed to be like and to learn how to love ourselves, right? Because some of us need practice on this. So, my friends, if you know someone who's got a problem, let's solve it. and tell them, hey, that problem's my problem now. We're going to figure this out. I'm about to make it fun or awkward or terrifying or really fun. I don't know. But I'm going to ask you right now to circle up, go find some people to plot and conspire with. And then I'm going to come back up here in a few minutes, and I'm going to ask you what you did. We're going to share a little bit. You good? And I'm done. Go. Go.